Hi, everybody. Welcome back to what is now the third week with Pastor Alex Seeley from the Belonging Co-Church in Nashville, Tennessee. We're having an incredible conversation. We are also joined by the Sessions musical favorite sidekick and only sidekick, Christina Reynolds, who is our worship leader and actually just an incredible part of these sessions. So I love you both. Let's dive back in. Alex, the mother heart of God that you speak about, do you think, and just how powerful it is for people to walk in it and experience it, do you think that that has something to do with the fact that we, many of us, have received God as such a stern, judicial judge, and there's that we don't know that he loves us?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. And it's really crazy because he made both of us in his image and his likeness. And the Holy Spirit is often referred to as that female attribute. Wisdom is a female attribute in Proverbs. It's the Holy Spirit is the nurturer, the comforter, the teacher, the guide. And we often look at Father God as judge, you know, the big angry dad. But if we were made in his image, that means he has all those attributes. And if you look at even the way he would talk to Israel, you know, if a mother can forget, you know, the child at her breast, but I will never forget you because of the marks on my hands. You know, he talks about the mother in the New Testament about being like a hen huddles the chicks. Like, that's a very nurturing, motherly type of affection. And we've got to see that love of God is not just male. He is not a man. Like, he doesn't have male parts. You know, he doesn't have this body. He is embodied. He is love. But in those attributes, yes, we refer to him as a male because of the him and the he, but there is a beautiful, beautiful feminine attribute. Doesn't make God a woman, but it gives him the attributes that make us the nurturer, the comforter, the guide. And if people could see that, they would honestly move towards him in a very different way.
I have to tell you, Alex, you know, when I first met my husband, Roger, who you know, we met on a plane and I had a Bible in my lap. I was getting ready to have a come to Jesus meeting about some things. You know what I mean? It's like, I like being on planes because no one can call me. No one, and I don't like, I'm not like my husband. I've often said, for those of you who watch regularly, my husband has an airline ministry. When he gets on an airplane, if you sit next to him at 30,000 feet and you don't know Jesus, you are getting saved. And if you do know Jesus, you are going deeper. That's my husband. Me, I put on the dark glasses. I'm hiding under the hat. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to have alone time. I stare at the clouds and I'm like, I'm closer to you. I'm a little closer to you. Yeah. And, you know, by proximity, okay, let's talk. So my husband actually interrupted one of those moments. He was not my husband then. He's the guy that was interrupting my moment on an airplane. And so I immediately disliked him because how dare you talk to me? Aren't I giving off that mean stink face vibe of I don't want to interact? And he had a word from the Lord for me. And it cut through. He was not hitting on me. It was nothing like that.
No, he's ministering.
Right. He had a word. And so I was like, oh, you're so vain. Yeah, you know, my mind went all those secular places, as it were, you know, and I was, you know, cursing him to the Netherlands for, you know, hitting on me with a Bible in my lap, you know. It was like, oh, this man of God who reads this Bible and understands this Bible deeply has a word from God for me. Lots of paradigms began to shift from the second that I encountered him and Jesus at 30,000 feet. But I have to tell you, the most profound thing he said to me was, well, I see that you're reading this Bible. And he said, he gave me a couple of scripture, which of course spoke to exactly what I wanted to have my come to Jesus meeting with the Lord about. And then he looked at me and he said, look, this is going to sound so simple. He said, but you've got a cloud on you. And he said, and I really feel like God has a very simple message for you. You know him. Why don't you know that he loves you? Because wow. he loves you. I was a puddle of tears on that.
Wow.
Because I realized that I was beating myself up with the word of God. Yeah. I was not receiving the love of God through his word at all.
Yeah. And isn't that crazy? Because, and I think because I had a disjointed, I had this kind of dual relationship with my mom, and I would view God, if I wasn't doing the right thing, then he went silent on me. Or if I didn't live up to his expectation, he went silent on me. And and often our relationship with God, the Godhead, Father, Mother, and siblings, relates to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when you can get that right and bring that forgiveness into play, you develop an understanding of each Godhead that's quite profound. Because everyone finds it very easy to talk to Jesus because he's the Savior. But then when it comes to Father God and Mother God, which is like Holy Spirit, I think it's really difficult to receive the love because there's a disconnection on so many levels. But he is such a nurturer, and that's what I love about the Father, that he's got this motherly attribute.
Yeah, he loves us. His embrace is warm and beautiful. And, someone mentioned your mother-daughter journey. And you know, we've been spending time with Pastor Alex Seeley from the Belonging Co. talking about, you know, her tailor-made life, which is her first book, and Opposite Life, which is her current book. And could you share a little bit about how you lived sort of in this opposite life with your own mother-daughter journey?
Yeah, huge. Because God had really, I had to work through some things because my mom would often just be very vocal and mean without realizing it. It was just, you know, you're stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I had such unforgiveness. And it just affected every part of me. So every time she would do something, the trigger that would just be detonated would just again resurface all the anger, all the hate, all the disdain. And I remember being 21 years of age and I was like, I'm moving out. Like, because in Australia, you don't go away to go to college. I did Bible college in my state, and I felt God say, you're not to leave home until you deal with your mum and you get things right. And I'm telling you, that was no easy feat, because I had to forgive her 70 times 7, because I felt the Holy Spirit would say, do this, say this, give her this. And it wasn't always met with, oh, how wonderful. Half the time it was, why did you do that? I don't need that. It was a rejection constant. And I felt like God was teaching me, love her beyond her reaction. Love her beyond, because what he'd given me eyes to see. See, so many hurt people. We all know that. But what was happening in my life is God wanted me to see why she was like that. And he would begin to open up and show me the little girl that was abused by her mother, the little girl that was abused by her brother, the little girl who wasn't allowed to go to school because in the 1940s, it wasn't necessary. The little girl who was given an opportunity taken from her every single time and told to get over it. Just a constant disappointment. And is there any wonder there was a hardening of her heart? And my mum had two nervous breakdowns when we were children. And God showed me that. And I went, oh my gosh, my mum's broken. But because as children, you think your mum's the hero. You think your mum knows everything. But when God starts to open your eyes, I began to forgive. And I began to pray for her. And I began to love her. And honestly, now our relationship is so solid. And she's asked for forgiveness. I've repented for the things that I've done. And we are now the best of friends.
Alex, that's what you say is so profound, because I long ago realized that broken people break other people.
Yeah.
You are the success story of forgiveness, because with people we love, I think God's restoration is really ultimately what he desires. But it doesn't always have to be like, my older brother sexually molested me. I would be a fool to send my child or my grandchildren to him. God gives us wisdom.
Totally.
Right? You learn to set your boundaries. You learn that forgiveness doesn't mean that what was done to you was right, you know, or deserving. What it is simply understanding that Jesus Christ came to die for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And every day I need forgiveness. And if I stand in front of his whole gig on planet Earth, how can my own life be set free? You know, how can I walk in freedom? So for me, forgiveness was simply taking my right to judge and just giving it to God and letting him be the judge and trusting him that his judgments will be correct, you know, and that brought me such freedom.
Yeah. And that's what it is. Forgiveness is freedom for you. Yeah. It's not letting the other person off the hook. God's a just judge and everything will be brought to the table. If they don't repent, they will be judged severely for what they've done. But just the same grace that God gives a sexual predator forgiveness for, he gives us forgiveness for a lie or a holding of unforgiveness. So it's something that liberated me because I held unforgiveness because I thought it was letting my mum off the hook. I thought it was then allowing her actions to be justified. It was like, well, if I forgive her, you get off scot-free. And then I'm still the victim. But God changed the narrative on me and he said, no, because you're no longer a victim in Christ. You're a new creation. You're made whole. Therefore, you don't live according to your sinful nature. You are now brand new. You're like me. So if I could forgive and I was perfect and I was abused and I was murdered and I was betrayed, then guess what? It's the most liberating moment for you to say, I forgive you. I let go of your hold on me and that makes me free. And then God, I then throw it over to you to have your dealings with them. But I'm not going to hold, I love what you said, I'm not going to hold my judgment because it's your judgment of that person that holds you bound and is actually a sin. Because you hold unforgiveness, guess what? Someone explained it to me beautifully years ago. It was like, you hold unforgiveness, you're opening a door to the enemy to wreak demonic havoc in your life because you're partnering with an evil response. Forgiveness is the opposite to what we want to do, but forgiveness shuts the door to any activity. Yeah. And the minute you hold unforgiveness, check yourselves, those that are listening, if you've got chaos around you, who have you not forgiven? What have you partnered with? And all you have to do, this is how powerful God is and how easy it is you just got to come out of agreement with that. Repent and say, I release you from my judgment. And let those things fall to the ground so that the enemy has no more little windows to come in to those open doors.
Christina, I know I just wanted to bring you in here. I know that you understand this journey of forgiveness too. And it's funny sometimes, you know, and I know Christina and I laugh sometimes, Alex, about her forgiveness journey, because it was a lot like mine. Like I had to forgive so many people, including God. I was mad at God for some things, right? Yeah. Christina, I know you well enough to know you probably have a thought.
I'm loving everything that you're saying, Alex. And what's interesting is that the other night I led worship for a meeting that actually Cynthia's husband, Roger, leads every Tuesday night called Afterglow. And he actually asked me the same thing because he was talking about forgiveness and, you know, inner healing and how that's all related. And, you know, you're so right when you say that it's actually for yourself, because one of my first encounters with inner healing was with Roger, him and Cynthia praying over me and my husband, leading us through. And I must have forgiven the entire world 10 times over. Like, that's how ridiculous.
And more races than I knew existed on planet Earth.
Right. It doesn't matter who you are. I forgive the dirt. I mean, that's how angry and how much I was holding on to offense, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Roger's asked me, so how did you feel after you forgave, you know, the entire world and then some, and God and myself and everyone? And I was like, you know what? I had never felt peace like that before, where you can just lay your head down, you know, at night on your pillow and feel just that heaviness gone. Like, I don't think we realize how much heaviness, how much bondage, how much oppression we live in until we actually start taking the step of faith and taking courage to release people, release.
I'm a big believer in inner healing, and because it that's what it does. It heals you from the inside out. All your external manifestations are just symptoms of the root that is rotting away in your heart. Get to the root and all your symptoms fall away. Those of you that have got porn addictions, those of you who've got, I had an eating disorder for 20 years that was symptomatic to my control issues of not wanting to forgive. All the things are external that can be fixed by truly letting yourself, your heart be healed. So well done.
Wow. Well, Alex, I kind of love to ask you, what's your heart's desire right now for your home and your ministry?
Well, my heart's desire is that my children would love God with their whole heart, their whole mind, I want them to have an encounter with Jesus like I've had. And so I'm just so passionate about that, because my home is more important than any ministry. That is my first ministry. But for the church, I really am crying out for, and I don't say this as a cliche, but I am crying out for a genuine revival, a revival of an awakening internally for people to surrender and be turned to the face of God like never before. A generation that is consumed with the holy fire. And I'm passionate about that, and I'm not going to stop praying for that and believing for that. I know that our church, I believe, is going to come into its greatest season this after this pandemic has really sifted a lot of what is real, what is true. And I so believe God is wanting to pour out his spirit. And so I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for the power of God to be manifested in people's lives. And so very passionate about that.
I just got goosebumps. From the Holy Spirit as you were speaking, because what I heard in my mind and my heart was, that's why we're talking about forgiveness. It's interesting, yeah. Because I think about, you know, where we are. I mean, we're filming virtually, right? Because of COVID-19 that started this incredible change. I mean, the church has been impacted in incredible ways. And while there are some things that have been beautiful, because there are some changes to ministry that have happened, because we have to move with the times. I mean, you, Alex, are probably like me. I mean, I was streaming and doing all this stuff because my heart was always for younger people anyway. And I was like, yeah, they're not buying DVDs.
Yeah. We've been streaming for years.
So I'm like, well, finally, some more people know what that is.
Yeah, and Instagram Live. I can't believe how many people discovered Instagram Live. I'm like, well, we've been doing that for a while too.
Right, right. And maybe some of them shouldn't have discovered it, but they have. You know, but I got to tell you, it's forgiveness though. Here we are at this foundational, we're having this conversation, and I'm really realizing that, you know, from the pandemic, for those of you watching, and because all of your countries have probably been impacted by the race problem and the explosion that has gone on in America surrounding a man named George Floyd, who was killed. And I often have said, Alex, you know, seeing that video, it did it for everyone. Like, we all knew, okay, there's a problem, we want to address it. And then and there were these peaceful, beautiful protests. And then it just, the enemy came in and it got co-opted. And now there's all this ugliness also sin to answer sin just is more sin. Two wrongs never make a right.
Yeah.
And here we are at this seminal issue. And so just because I don't want to avoid the conversation, because you know, so much is going on in our country. And Christina's in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm in California. You're in Nashville, Tennessee. We have all had riots and protests and all kinds of stuff in our cities. Yep. And every time you turn on the television, you know, someone else was killed, someone else is angry, and there's blame, and there's all this stuff. Alex, is it really truly all about the fact that we've got to learn to forgive?
It's literally the baseline. It's the baseline. Imagine if everybody just chose to forgive. And we're just talking black, white, Asian, Indian, immigrant, Italian. If we just all learned to forgive, whether we're justified in it or not, the world would be a beautiful place. And that's really the opposite life right there.
Yes. And oh, that's so sweet. Someone wrote in, yeah, you really are in advance. Remember last year I shared with my friends about how I admire you and your Skype interviews on your show. It's true, because when I said on TBN, I'm going to sit in my studio in London, and I said, well, we can have guests in from all over the world. And it was kind of like, how? I'm like, Skype. I'm like, I go on Fox News and CNN. We do. I mean,
you're ahead of your time.
I was like, you mean we don't do that in Christianity? Like, well, we've been doing that in secular TV for a long time. Oh, man.
Honestly, the world is massive. Now everyone gets reached. It's beautiful.
Yes. Well, look, I know we're getting down. We have to wrap up, and I'm honestly, you know, Ashley, I'm going to try to read your from the audience. She submitted something. I honestly know that if it wasn't for this going on, I wouldn't have been growing so close to God. All glory goes to God. He's opened so many doors to help me have fellowship with strong women of God. Before this, I chose to live with my eyes closed shut, and now He's opening my spiritual eyes in so many ways. How did you all get into ministry? I actually feel like I have a calling for it. But where did you start? I mean, listen, I think what I'm going to do, because that's a huge question. And I know that's a part of all of our testimonies. And Ashley, I'll just direct you honestly to TaylorMade, because Pastor Alex really talks about how she got into ministry honestly there. And Opposite Life is an extension of how, once you're in ministry, how you got to change your life. Right. So if you have a calling to it, I really want you to look at her books. And I know I try to be very open, you know, in mine. And and Christina's ministry and how she got into it through her worship music is powerful. Yeah. It's powerful, because what do we do? We're communicators, right, ladies? We document our journey in the way that God's given us to document our journey. I went through a season of my life where I used to paint, and I've been called to it again in the last 6 months. I've been craving it. Yeah. I paint scripture, and Denver Washington became my first patron. And and it's a little side of me I never talk about, and I really kind of hide it. And I have a gallery of artwork that's in a storage situation. And people often say to me, what is wrong with you? When are you going to?
Yeah, what is wrong with you? Release it. Post-COVID, release it.
I know. Thank you. But I can't even thank you enough. Your heart and your depth, Alex, it just comes through. And I'm so grateful for your transparency, because I think we're in a season where God doesn't need any more leaders on pulpits who look like their lives are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, He needs people to speak from the broken places to heal the broken places.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I guess as we go, I'd love to ask you, because someone submitted this question from the audience, what's your anchor scripture?
Oh my goodness, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ came to set us free. So do not go and bind yourself up again with the bondage of slavery. Mm-hmm. It's like He has freed us. Stay free. Don't go entangle yourself. He came, and His death, His blood was bought at a huge price. Don't make mockery of it. Stay free for His cause. And so for me, I've got this tattoo on my arm that's in French, liberté, because it encapsulates that. It's freedom. And it's what I'm passionate for, because I've tasted freedom. Now I want everybody to be free. And that is really it in a nutshell.
Wow. Well, You guys, we're out of time. Pastor Alex has now been with us for the last 3 weeks. And I'm very, very happy because when you have someone who's a powerhouse in Christ on as your guest, it makes your life so easy because I get to be fed as we are feeding you guys. And thank you for tuning in. You've been a part of another session. I'm Cynthia Garrett. Thank you, Pastor Alex Seeley. Thank you to Christina Reynolds, my musical sidekick, and my sister. I love both of you. You're both my sisters, and I'm grateful for you in the world. You know, Alex, thank you. Thanks for watching the sessions, you guys. It's been an amazing and incredible 3 weeks with Pastor Alex Seeley. I hope you've enjoyed, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more.